It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Man, Bob, we're halfway through January already, man. Where does this time go? It just seems like we were doing the holidays, and bam, we're a month out now. But anyway, I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We're here to brighten your weekend and maybe smoke it up a little bit. Cajun grill of mine is puffing away in the backyard right now. I got some brisket on for some friends and some beef ribs, and the cats were happy because I trimmed that brisket last night. And of course, you know, when you trim that fat off, sometimes you make a little nick. And of course, I cut the edge off where the cryovac kind of cooks it, and the cats get all of that, what used to be Zeus's treat.
Right.
And they're happy. They were purring. They wanted some petting when I left this morning.
It's funny you say that. Since the last time we talked, we cooked up the other half of that dry-aged New York strip loin that I aged for the Christmas. And I did the same thing. You cut the ends off because they're crusty, and then after you cut the steaks, I just trim it real thin to get the crusty stuff off the outside, right? And, ooh, the center's just wonderful. But my dog has now found a real liking to dry-aged crust off of, and she
Why
was,
not?
She was eating it raw right off there, but, you know, it's been aged for 30 days, so, but... It was, yeah, begging for the stuff, man.
My vet told me the best thing I can give my dog is raw red meat.
Yeah.
Because they're wolves.
Right.
That's what they are.
Right.
That's what they were invented to do.
Yeah. Funny.
So I am going to post on our website the results of the bacon challenge. For Christmas, Jop got me a pork belly from Sobeys. And a cool little kit online that we talked about a week or two ago. I brined it for 11 days. And
is that how long it's supposed to be? That seems like a long time to me.
No, they recommended 9, but...
you forgot a couple days?
No, I just had to pull it off when I could smoke it. So
well, it's true.
It had to stay in the brine a little extra, and it didn't hurt a thing. Matter of fact, it was some of the best bacon I've ever had.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And the family, we've got extended people in the house right now. And let me tell you something. Little Genevieve at 1 year old loves bacon.
Grandpa's little grilling girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
there you
right.
go.
And I came home the other night, and we had a group of women over there. Jordan's girlfriend was over. She lives in town now, and Maggie and, of course, Maureen and Olivia and everybody, and they had a baked potato buffet set up, and there was all kinds of chopped up bacon there.
Yeah.
Just about finished off that slab. But I got to tell you, I took good pictures of this whole thing, and I'm going to put an extensive post on the Grillin' Guys website, and you're going to see that anybody can do this. It's not rocket science. Perfect time of the year to do it. Go to your favorite butcher and pick up a pork belly. You can get a half of one or whatever size you want. The bigger, the better, because that stuff's going to go fast, baby.
Right.
Let me tell you that. And it's just a matter of patience. You got to make your brine. You got to turn it over a couple times a day. I put it in a soft cooler and a garbage bag and just flip the whole thing every day. And kept it outside, brought it in at night so it didn't freeze. And it's the perfect weather.
Right.
That Cajun grill, kudos to T-Gid and his brother Greg, that thing just chugs along beautifully. And I was doing a lot of sticks in it versus charcoal because I wanted my heat low and my smoke high. And I am so impressed with how it turned out. And that's honestly since 1975. That's the first time I have smoked bacon.
Yeah.
And I did it in 75 at a college job in Grand Rapids for Vandenbrink Meat Company. And
right.
We smoked them in giant racks, 190 degrees for, I think, 11 hours. And the hams would stay in for 17 or 19 hours. But
right.
190 degrees, and I kept that thing pegged about 210. It's cold out, very little charcoal. When it would start getting cold, I'd throw another stick and a little handful of charcoal on, and I did it in offset fashion. You can do it with any charcoal grill, and oh my gosh, Chop, I think I have a little piece at home, and I gotta remember to try and save it for you, but I don't know.
No, it ain't gonna make it. Don't save it. It's that good when it's fresh
it
like
so
that.
Good.
Too.
Slicing, yeah. It's the trick.
But
and you got a meat slicer.
I did.
So,
I bought one.
I'm gonna do that too.
Right.
Because it's very tedious. I use one of my big long brisket knives to slice it. So it was a little thicker than you'd normally buy it, but it was so perfect. Thank you again.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad. You know, for the man who's got everything, you have to search a little while to get you something that you can enjoy.
You hit the honey hole right there,
yeah,
buddy.
Right. Well, you know, if you're a grilling guy, pretty much bacon is a safe bet.
That's right.
Know? But
yeah.
But making your own, you know,
tasty
it's easy to
treat.
Drive to Sobeys and get his because his is excellent as well. But it was, you know, just the novelty of doing something and doing it yourself. So
I did another brisket this week for my buddy John Grilley, who's a mechanic for Watson Country. And I hope you all like that up there. It turned out beautiful. It was same process again on the Cajun because it's a small one. I don't have any other small smokers right now, so that's become my go-to piece, and it's so easy. I've got it in the right spot. I can come out of the garage, hit it, keep my charcoal inside, and I hope they like that up there. Watson Country, I think it's a Ford Jeep dealer, and they did a great job on my Jeep, so I'm much appreciative, and there's a little treat for you boys up there.
Nice. Nice. We're going to talk a little bit about comfort food all day today, and so I'll save a couple things that I'm thinking of for the upcoming segments, but Thursday of this week, I did a barbecue for my coworkers. It was kind of our holiday party that we never had during the holidays.
Right.
And so that turned out well, but I made a cowboy brownie in a big skillet. And
what's a cowboy brownie?
Oh, it had some it's cocoa with the flour and I made a from scratch brownie rather than a mix. And then but we put I toasted some walnuts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say jerky.
No. I toasted some walnuts in the skillet before I made it, and it just turned out great, and had a little chocolate icing on it. Nothing special, but that reminds me of comfort food because I'd never done that before, but I had that big 24-inch skillet that you bought me, and we loaded that thing up and took it there, and man, those things, they were super sweet, but ooh, they were good. But really, you know, everybody's like, wow, this tastes like my mom used to make this, you know, home comfort, and I'm like, good. That's what I was supposed to do in the middle of January. Right?
Yeah, that's right. So we're not going to talk about a lot of grilling, but we're going to talk about a lot of food and our favorite foods for soups and stews and chilies. So you'll want to stick around for that. It's imperative that if you have trouble getting our broadcast in your market at a time that's convenient, that you simply go to our website and get the podcast because it's a wonderful way to listen to anything you like, and we are all podcasting more and more, but our podcast numbers are huge, and they go all over the world, which is really cool. We have troops over in the Middle East that listen. God bless you boys and women, I should say.
And you got a son over there still, don't you?
I do. Yep. That's right. And I doubt that he listens. He's heard too much.
He gets enough of you.
Yeah,
I get it.
Now, what's really cool is we do WhatsApp, and he calls me usually outside having a stogie. I send him some really nice stogies, and so he'll sit outside and have a stogie, and it's pretty funny.
In 100-degree weather or wherever he's at,
no,
right?
It's like 70 now, 65.
Oh.
Tolerable. Yeah, it is. And fortunately, this next summer he'll be coming home, and his brother will be home from his Air Force training, and we'll have us a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So coming up next, we're going to get a little comfy in a bowl of soup. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, man, it's the middle of January, and comfort food comes to mind. We touched on a couple of them there in the first segment, but if you're just joining us, we're going to continue down that road because this is the time of year when comfort food is the king, and we're all, from COVID, strapped into our houses, and now you put Mother Nature chilling things down, and it's time to just get comfy and cozy. What you thinking, man?
Well, I think we're blessed to live in a country that has so many nationalities, and it's been the melting pot of the world for a couple hundred years. And one of the cool things that comes from that melting pot scenario is the food, all the ethnicities, and one of them being, you know, the Italian population and something they brought us, many, many foods, many of our favorite foods. Well, I'm not thinking of pizza, but
right,
is Italian wedding soup. And I don't know that I've ever had it at an Italian wedding, but it certainly is at a lot of banquet halls. And it's, to me, it's really good because I love Italian sausage and I love soup. So what could be wrong? You've got basically little Italian meatballs. And you've got several different types of greens you can use in it, and we'll go over those. But let's talk about how to make those little meatballs, those little bitty tiny balls of meat.
How little are we talking?
You got to roll them pretty small because it's soup, right?
You want it on your spoon. You don't want it to bite it in half.
Some people actually put full-size meatballs in it, but if you can, you can use a melon scoop to form your little balls. Leave it alone, Jop. So I'm going to take some ground beef and some Italian sausage. You decide if you want the hot Italian spicy or if you want sweet.
Does it depend on the bride? Whether you got a spicy or sweet bride or not?
Could be.
How the soup goes?
Could be. If you're marrying an Italian girl, you're going to have to ask her. But
I bet you know.
So I go with the spicy because you're going to blend that together with ground beef. So it's not even a big deal. But then you're going to need to add into the pound of each. You're going to need a cup of grated Parmesan and some Italian breadcrumbs or anything like, you know, Progresso makes a great one. But you can make your own if you have some stale bread. Some eggs, chopped chives, thyme. I like fresh thyme. Always have thyme for it. So garlic, two cloves, some kosher salt, black pepper, and some olive oil. And you blend this together, and don't over-knead. Anytime you make meatballs, do not work your meat too hard.
Gets tough.
I said leave it alone.
I am. It gets tough, man. Tough for me to leave it alone, but it gets tough. Makes a tough meatball, too.
And then you make those little meatballs, and now for the soup.
So let's talk about that. You're just grabbing a little dollop of it, rolling it in your hand.
You can do that,
too. Smaller than a golf ball, right? Quite a little bit, half the size of a golf ball.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Should make you about 40 to 50 meatballs. Then you want to heat up in a stock pot some oil and add about half the meatballs, cook them to medium, stirring them on all sides. Don't worry if the inside of the meatballs aren't fully cooked, because you're going to actually add them to the soup and they'll finish off there. But you, what you want to do is you want to create a nice crust on the outside.
Yep.
So it stays together more than anything.
So a hotter oil, and just roll them around in there until they crisp up.
Right.
Right.
And you just want to brown them on the outside. Move the brown meatballs over to a large waterproof bowl and add oil to the pot again and repeat the process with the rest of the meatballs. Now, if you want to brown them in a skillet, that's fine too. But this pot is the same one you're going to be using for soup. Your soup.
Yeah.
So I have lots of different pots in our house, and we have one that has a very thick bottom on it. That's the kind you want to be browning meatballs in, because your flame will be spread out more evenly, and you can actually saute. And
you could do this, I hate to say it, but you could do this in your Dutch oven too.
Actually, one of the recipes I read calls for a Dutch oven.
Right.
Yep. And I wasn't going to do that because I didn't want to trigger you, but look at what we've created, folks.
Right, yeah,
created
exactly.
Created a monster.
I have one, and now I use it, right?
So,
no, but it's going to get crisp, all those little crispies on the bottom. When you put your liquid in for your soup, it'll deglaze, and then all that flavor is still
goodness.
In your soup.
Yes, it is.
It's still in your soup.
That's why
you want to use the same pot.
That is right.
Yeah.
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
So for the greens, you can use Swiss chard or spinach. Doesn't matter. They're pretty similar. And you're going to want some olive oil, another finely chopped onion, 3 large carrots diced up into little cubes, a box of chicken stock, or 8 cups, whatever that works out to. Probably
a box is
probably,
like 32, so that's
probably
4 cups.
Two.
You need a couple boxes
probably
of it.
Probably 2,
yep.
And a cup of dry white wine. The white wine nobody drank a couple months ago that's still in your fridge, that's just fine.
Right. They took one glass and go,
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good in soup, though.
The cheap stuff. And then a bay leaf or two. Can't hurt with bay leaves. And whoever gets the bay leaf when you serve it out has to kiss the cook.
Oh, really?
So be strategic with how you scoop that out and
right.
You know, hand it to the prettiest woman at the table.
Okay.
Don't give it to your brother-in-law.
You're not doing it to the Italian bride?
No.
It's her soup?
Oh. You don't want her kissing you.
You'll
be getting a sock in the eye. Then some kosher salt, black and pepper, and 1 cup of orzo pasta. It's little bitty. It looks like...
rice almost, doesn't it?
Well, it looked like little white pellets. It's called O-R-Z-O, orzo pasta.
Sure.
If you don't have any and you want to use some little bow ties or something, you'll love it too.
Seems like there would be a bow tie in a wedding soup, but I'm just thinking. You
can't just leave anything alone.
Well,
you're going to finish it off with salt and pepper to taste and some grated Parmesan on top of each bowl as you serve it. But basically, you got those meatballs done. Then you cut those thick stems off the chard, the Swiss chard or the spinach, and you slice those into 1-inch strips. And then cross-cut them so you have small pieces. Set them aside. Add your olive oil to the pot and that you brown the meatballs in, and char those stems, onions, carrots, and cook them with that chicken juice until you think they're just getting a little bit cooked. Then add your meatballs, add the rest of your chicken stock, bring that baby to a simmer for 10 minutes, and you're done.
You're
it is so
soup.
Wonderful. It's so wonderful.
You can get this done quicker than the bride's getting dressed, so that's good. Wedding soup, you got it.
Yeah,
when
you can't leave her alone, can you?
I don't want to. I really don't.
Goodness. Lisa, reel them in.
So I don't know if we've got time. You took us down that road on a slow pace, brother. We also had some hot and sour soup
that
we were
going to
cover.
That.
Maybe
yeah.
we can get that in the next segment.
We'll have to.
Yeah.
Because
right.
we were going to do stews. Do's and don'ts, but
we'll
blow through that quick.
Right. Stu doesn't make many mistakes, so we don't have to do's and don'ts him much, but anyway.
Okay.
All right, well, enough of this nonsense. Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. We ran a little long on the wedding soup, but Italian weddings tend to run long. So we're going to talk about some hot and sour now, Bob. What are you thinking?
I think Polish weddings run longer.
Do they? What kind of soup do they have?
They go for 3 days. They wake up on the tables and they go right back at it until all the kegs are gone.
Right.
And the uncles can't take it anymore.
I see.
That's the old school West Side wedding.
Sure.
Yes, indeed. The big old uncles are pouring the beer, and the aunts are serving the food, and everybody is having a time.
Nobody runs out of anything
except
energy.
They don't complain. They don't seem to. So we all have our favorite Chinese restaurant, right? And
they've all done pretty well during COVID, except for the ones with the buffets, I guess. But yeah. A lot of takeout in the Chinese world.
Yeah. I think I choose my Chinese restaurants by which ones have good hot and sour soup. If they don't, I just don't go. Because to me, that's one of my favorite soups that I got engrossed in when I was living in the service in the Pacific, right? A lot of Chinese people on our island, and we had some good stuff out there, and I found that to be delectable. So this is an easy one. You're going to need about a pound of pork tenderloin, and you're going to cut that into like 1.5-inch by 1/4-inch strips. You need olive oil, fresh mushrooms, again, with the chicken broth. What's with the chicken broth?
It's a good base for soup, man.
Some soy sauce, some chili garlic sauce, which you can find in your favorite supermarket in the international aisle. Some pepper and some extra firm, wait for it,
tofu!
Chop's favorite food. And then some bamboo shoots, some sliced water chestnuts, and a 1/2 cup of white vinegar. Some cornstarch, cold water, sesame oil. Big deal. Go to Old World Olive Company and get their toasted sesame oil.
Right. You don't want to use much of it. That stuff is potent,
phenomenal.
But it has a great flavor.
Yes. So, in a Dutch oven.
What's that, Bob?
Brown your pork in oil until no longer pink. That's a big deal. Remove it from the heat and keep it warm. Oh, by the way, I ripped this off from tasteofhome.com.
Okay.
I looked at many different versions of this, and this one to me looked like the closest thing assimilation to what I'm used to, and that's all that matters. So add your broth. You got to take that meat out, set it aside. And add your broth, soy sauce, chili garlic sauce, bring to a boil, reduce the heat, cover and simmer for 10 minutes. Return the meat and mushrooms to the pan. Stir in the tofu, bamboo shoots, water chestnuts, and vinegar. Simmer uncovered for 10 minutes. That's all you need.
What am I missing? There's pork and tofu in it. I thought tofu was a meat substitute.
Well, it's a protein, but it's not necessarily a substitute to people who grow up eating tofu.
Okay.
I think in China, meat and pork in particular was always at a premium. But tofu, you know, they can buy soybeans from America cheap.
Yep.
So that's how they make their tofu.
All right. So there you are, hot and sour.
In a small bowl, combine cornstarch and water until smooth. Gradually stir it into the soup. Bring to a boil for 2 minutes. Okay.
This is a recipe show.
Stir in the sesame oil and garnish it with onions. Now,
like green onion tops?
I like chopped green onions. Yeah.
Right.
They're just so good looking.
Right.
Kind of like you.
I understand. I don't look anything like a hot and sour soup, but I am good looking. That's why I'm on the radio. But, we got to pick up the pace here a little bit.
Recipes, I know.
People are going to be driving this thing into the ditch because they're going to fall asleep listening to us, man.
I'm sorry, but, it's a comfort show, so we have to be comfortable.
Okay, yeah. Slow down. Go easy, Jop. Yeah.
Stews, do's and don'ts.
Yeah, Stew.
What do you know about Stew?
Hey, I pledged a fraternity with a guy named Stu, and he's still a lifelong friend, and I don't know how well he can cook, but I told him to do's and don'ts sometimes.
I think stew's one of the easiest things to make.
Think there's tricks to the trade, though.
There are, and we want to talk about a few of those. But typically for a stew, you're going to use trimmings, or I like using chuck roast.
Yep. A lot of flavor in a chuck roast.
Yeah.
A lot of fat, and that renders down, and that makes flavor in your soup.
And you can get your chuck roast cut into a 1-inch slab instead of 2-inch. And then you can go ahead and debone it and take all the fat off that you can possibly get off, any grizzle, anything uncomfortable or awkward so nobody's choking at your table. But then brown that, and again, you can use that same big pot and brown that or your Dutch oven. And I like to add my spices to the meat and
garlic, rock salt.
Garlic, salt, and pepper.
Right.
And thyme. Thyme is a biggie to me, and I put it in too many things, but for stew, it's a must. And
some things just take time, Bob.
Yes. And I think, it's a great time to experiment with some different vegetables, but of course, potatoes and carrots are just a big deal.
Right.
And then
sweet onion.
Pour in some beef stock if you've got it.
Right.
And I'm going to go with a Spanish onion or a more of a pungent onion, something. I save the sweets for raw, but, to each his own.
Right.
Whatever you've got in the onion drawer, basically, is how that's going to roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're making a gravy out of beef broth. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Well, I'm going to probably mix up a little flour and cornstarch with some water and whisk it so I get all the lumps out of it, and slowly stir that in until I get it to the consistency I want.
Right.
And then I'm going to put a cover on it and just shut it off.
You don't need...
She's done.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're going to let it cook for a while and break down.
What I'll very often do is I'll pour in my water or beef stock, depending on what I have or need, and I'll put the cover on it, and I'll simmer that for about 45 minutes.
With the meat in there?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Because, again, it's chuck roast. It's going to be a little tough if you don't.
Right.
And if I have the time, I'm going to let that go for a couple hours.
Right.
Now, if I season that meat properly, I can just add water. You don't need a packet of anything. You don't need beef stock. You made beef stock.
Yep.
And if you want to get real smart about it, you take those trimmings and you throw those in the pot first and you brown all that up and you render some fat off of there and then pull that out before you put your meat in.
The chunky leave the fat behind, though.
Yeah. You take all the fat out, and then you put your meat in and brown your meat in the fat that was rendered.
Right.
That's traditional.
Right.
In my mother's kitchen.
Yeah, and you can, this time of year, that can sit on the counter all afternoon in a crock pot if you didn't want to do it in a Dutch oven. I prefer it in the Dutch oven myself, but you can put that on low in the oven and let that thing go for 2 hours or 3 hours, and you're probably going to get the same result, consistency. You don't want to go much longer than that because you don't want to break down.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do that maybe with the meat. But when it comes to throwing the veggies in, timing's everything. Those carrots and potatoes have a point of perfection.
Got any idea what that is?
Yeah,
when
you think it's good.
Yeah.
It's about 15 to 25 minutes.
Because it's hot in there already.
Doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
You don't want them all mushed out.
Right. You got to cook a potato, though. I don't like them hard.
There you go.
Right.
To each his own.
Exactly. You can do the same thing with Bisquick and chicken and dumplings. Do that in a stock pot like that or your...
Maureen makes that.
Right.
And she hasn't in quite a while.
Yep.
I'm going to have to talk to her.
But you cook that chicken, you get it all browned up and get it cooked almost through, put it in the bottom of the pot and put that... stock in there or the broth, the chicken broth. You really want that this time. and then just make up the Bisquick recipe that's on a box of Bisquick, and there'll be a dumpling recipe right on the box. And you just drop those in there, and what it'll end up doing is you drop enough of them in.
When it's boiling
right,
rapidly.
Right. You drop them in there, and what it'll do is it'll end up almost filling that pot with those dumplings because they'll swell as they cook. And then you break through that, and the chicken's underneath with the vegetables. And the,
so if you want to make a good stock, when you see these little yard birds on sale, just grab the whole chicken, make sure you pull out the neck and the gizzards and all that stuff. But you just drop that in a pot of boiling water, and you boil that for about 2 hours.
Right.
And there's your stock.
Yep.
It's going to be wonderful.
Really good. You could even season that with some garlic, salt, and pepper,
you have
too, the chicken, before you put
to.
It in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's comfort food. Well, there's nothing like comfort food in the winter if it isn't a big bowl of chili. And we're going to cover that next. We're going to go around the United States, and we may even get south of the border. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys Show. That's it.
Chili. That's what we're going to be talking about now. You're listening to the Grilling Guys, and we're going to... Bob and I have competed in some chili.
We have some bona fides.
Yes, and we actually won a couple times. It's been a while, but we grilled chili, believe it or not, so we might talk about that technique, too. First one's Tex-Mex, right out of the box. What are you thinking?
It's bona fide.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tex-Mex, that's what most people think of in chili. It's kind of like the stuff you get out of a can.
Oh, come on.
You're
going to
have
now.
Cumin. You're going to have, it's basic. I mean, it's, tell me what you'd do to make chili.
Well, all right then. I'm going to go down our little championship recipe because I use that thing. It's my go-to. I like white chicken chili. It's okay, but it's not my favorite. But just a good old beef chili. Chili's one of those things that you got to have a few specific ingredients, and then you can throw some other stuff in if you like it, right? But for me, I get a big chunk of sirloin, and I need it about an inch thick is all. Our buddies at Sobey Meats have this Wagyu. Okay, sorry for the pronunciation. But,
Wag the dog.
Right, but it is a very marbled and wonderful piece of sirloin steak, and sirloin is the most flavorful piece of beef off the animal, in my opinion. And we smoke that till it's about 120, 125 in the center, so medium rare is where I want to do it. Debone it, cut it in little diced up chunks, but I like it an inch thick because what I want is I want smoke on each piece of the meat that goes in the chili because it makes a difference when you're eating it. And so I dice it up pretty small, but I don't cut the inch part in half with a dice. They're long, skinny pieces in my chili because then I got smoke on both sides of that little tidbit. I like smoking the, and you're going to see, wow, smoky chili. You don't have to smoke this stuff with heavy smoke.
We know that.
It's the purpose of putting it in the smoker and slow cooking a tomato down, and it dries them out a little bit, but it just enhances the flavor so much. We've done it with tomatillos. We have four or five different kinds of chili peppers. It isn't just your jalapeno. There's a lot of others that you can get out there, whatever you like, and from the heat scale. You pick those. And then,
a bunch of ghost peppers would be good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then nobody's coming to your table. You're going to be eating alone. But anyway, those peppers, so everybody's got diced tomato with tomato sauce. You can use tomato paste and water. I don't prefer a lot of water in my chili. But anyway, those are the things that I like to have in my chili. And then you just cook it slow. I'm a give or take on beans. I think chili has to have kidney beans, but it's not necessarily my favorite thing in chili. Carrot, onion, those kind of things. And you just make as much of each of those ingredients as you want.
Well, I'm just curious. We're being produced again, of course, by our fantastic producer, Trevor. And I'm just wondering, when it comes to peppers in your chili and hot, what's the level?
I enjoy a mild chili, but not a super spicy. I like there to be a little bit of burn, but not a ton.
Not the next day.
Yeah, not the next day.
Then you didn't go far enough.
I only want to enjoy it once.
Yeah. You didn't go far enough. You had to clean that colon out.
Yeah, but I like a good one where I can have two bowls, like an extra. I want to be able to go back for more.
Right. So if you're in West Michigan, those golden vibes you're hearing, you'll hear Trevor on 97.9
WGRD.
Yes, yeah. That's right. The home of free beer and hot wings.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a lot of spinning the records on the weekend.
Yeah. You'll cool. hear me from 10 to 3.
Nice. Every weekend?
Yes, sir.
The man whips up some tasty licks, let me tell you that. I do appreciate your style, bro.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. So what about your chili, Bob? You're a Cincinnati guy.
I know you like them all. That stuff. I can't keep this waistline by not liking them all. So rather than Tex-Mex, I'd say we just do American chili, and that's the smoked version you're talking about.
Right.
I'm going to probably go with a mixture of beans. I like to see some black beans in there because I love the Negro beans. I'm going to do some light kidney, some dark kidney, and some pinto. So
now you're not doing those from raw. You're taking them out of a can?
Depends on how much I have to make. If I have to make a whole bunch, yeah, I'm going to soak the beans. But typically going to use those four, doing in smaller batches now that we're darn near empty nesters. We keep becoming empty nesters, and then it fails somehow.
You got the yo-yo effect going, man. Yeah. They leave, and then they come back. Yeah, they all got a legitimate reason. It's not like they're dead-beating you or anything, but you just get empty, and then all of a sudden, bam.
But, it's so nice because with Maggie and Christian and Genevieve living there right now, when I left this morning, little Genevieve was in Yaya's arms with her little rosy cheeks, and she said, bye, Papa.
Yeah.
That's worth it all. She can stay as long as she wants. Right. Her folks have to go.
Right.
But so as far as American chili, it's going to be like we do for our cook-offs and our competitions. And, of course, if you have a smoker, you can smoke your peppers and your onions and everything. And you don't have to smoke the chili if you do that. If you don't, you can smoke the whole pot of chili when you're done for an hour or so. But go easy on the smoke.
Right. Because that liquid will suck it up, and you'll go from smoky to too smoky to bitter in a hurry.
Yes. Cincinnati chili, love it. Here's how I make it. I open up a can. Because there's a great company out of Cincinnati that makes the best Cincinnati chili, and every time I go through Ohio, I can't even think of the brand now. I'm getting a brain cramp, but I will buy multiple cans. They do sell it at Spartan stores, and Kroger, if you want to buy it. And I won't remember the name now, but I have it in my pantry.
Right. You'll remember it when you get home.
Yeah.
And you open a can. Yeah.
So I don't try and make – I've made several batches. I posted one of them. I wasn't happy with it. I just it's just not as good. But white chili, I'm kind of the same as you there. Kind of over it, you know. Yep. Everybody went through that phase. Now, when my daughter Emily was up, she made some and she thinned it out. And what she ended up with was tortilla soup. Now, I like that much better because you finish it off with tortilla shells and then some Mexican cheese.
Little strips of it on top.
And Mexican cheese. And I'll take that any day over.
Is that the white cheese, the Mexican cheese?
Yep. Because it's not stringy. When you can get it in your spoon, it doesn't end up on your shirt.
Right. No, that's an issue with you.
And then, of course, you've got green chili from Colorado.
Yep.
And for that, you'll need the hatch peppers, a pork butt, and no beans. You're going to use the tomatillas.
Right.
And you're going to have a verde sauce. And it's phenomenal. And I like that best on an omelet.
Right. Yep, that green chili on an omelet. And that's a chicken stock-based chili, too, isn't
no,
it?
No, no, it's pork butt.
Pork, oh, okay.
Yeah. Porco. So you're going to put that on a chorizo cheese omelet, and you're going to be in heaven. Put some slices of avocado on it, and it's the best breakfast in America.
Yeah? Yeah, cool. So, you know what? Hit us on Facebook and let us know what your favorite chili recipe is, because it'd be kind of cool to share those if you've got one that you think is unbelievable. Because, you know, to me, there's no right or wrong way to make it. You just, whatever the one that you like is the one that you serve your family. But coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station, talk a little bit about these crazy times. But we got some man law coming up, too. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And we're going to bring this show to the close here. But, Bob, we ought to do that with a little man law, don't you think?
I do.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man. Now you're a man! A man, man, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Man law states that while walking with a group to the car, soon-to-be occupant may reserve the front passenger seat by calling out shotgun. All passengers must honor and respect the calling of shotgun. On those occasions where there is a tie while calling shotgun, a race to the car decides who gets shotgun.
Yeah, be careful this time of year with that shotgun race. Yeah, I told you a couple of weeks ago I bounced off the deck. That was on an icy day. That was not fun. You do not want to end up in a parking lot looking up at the car. So just be careful out there because it still hurts. I had a headache for a week.
Yeah, I tore a rotator cuff when Alex was about 13 or 14, and I wanted to race him at night through a school parking lot in the rain. And I didn't see the curb cut, and I went down, and my right arm caught me, but I tore that rotator cuff. And then like a month later, I was up on the third rack of my warehouse, and the ladder slid out from under me, and I had to hang from those warehouse racks with one arm as long as I could. I eventually came down.
Yeah.
But the damage was done. So I walked around for months with two torn rotators.
Yeah.
Nice. I couldn't, you know, if you wanted to sucker punch me, that was the time.
Yeah.
You missed your open. But I think the comfort foods are great for right now because at least for most houses, these are trying times. There's a lot of political division. There's, you know, I mean, you got social media deplatforming people left and right. Matter of fact, I told you on a week or two ago, I just got off Facebook because I couldn't stand to see them canceling people like the president. And so I went to a place called Clout Hub, and it's so cool because there's just not as much arguing, and you don't have all kinds of fake news on it. You got people posting videos that you might happen to like. You know, somebody might think it's fake news, but they're just not on there hammering everybody, you know. And
right.
There's no warnings from Zuckerberg, which I don't know. Is he in prison yet? You don't have all those little eyes popping up like, this is an unsafe site. You know, we've determined that you can't watch this.
Right.
It's like, I just feel like there's censorship.
Yep. Freedom of speech. And in this business and what we're doing here, that stinks. Stinks everywhere. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're just having fun. If you don't like what we're talking about, tune us out.
And right?
Simple. Yeah. It's just simple to me.
Yes, yes. That's why the radio has a dial or a search button. But
showing your age here.
Yeah, I like the dials. My Jeep still has dials. They were smart. They made it for baby boomers. Yeah. There's no tubes, Javi.
Dials, but no tubes yet, huh? Yeah. All right.
But it's trying times, and it's likely to get dicey for a while. We've got a sheet show going on in Washington, D.C., and I really hated to see that melee after the president's rally, and I'm not going to tell you my opinion on it. You can form your own opinions based on the videos you watch, but unfortunately, we lost an Air Force sister, and I hate to see that, but it's just there's that kind of tension. You know, a lot of people in America feel like they got robbed, and they're mad. And they want to protest. And I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were some people that took advantage of it and kind of led the charge and got people revved up. And don't do that. You know,
right.
Stay home.
Right.
Just stay home.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Listen to the Grilling Guys. We hope you picked up a couple little comfort ideas this week. And we sure will be back next week and we'll come up with some better ideas. So we appreciate you listening and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.